Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com, Pick Six Podcast, one of the super friends, my man. All right, can we talk about Odell Beckham Jr.?
I mean, if we have to, sure.
I mean,
my God, has there ever been this much hype for likely a less impactful signing? I mean, there probably has been.
I can't think about I when I saw the number, I figured that Odell Beckham Jr. clearly, I mean, he wanted to go to the Jets. He wanted to play with Aaron Rodgers. And apparently,
who's not on the Jets yet, by the way.
But he will be. I mean, I assume he will be because everybody is talking about him as though he's a Jet. I just had a 20-minute conversation with Mike Greenberg on Friday. And we're talking about him as already a Jet. We're discussing what number he's going to wear. So the Jets were interested, and then they heard that Odell Beckham Jr. wanted $15 million to play, and the Jets went, no, we're not giving you $15. He's played in basically half the games the last 6 years. He didn't play at all last year.
If I were an NFL general manager and like my owner told me you have to give Odell Beckham $15 million to play on your team, my legs and knees would start shaking because I would be like, oh, no, we're committing $15 million to a wide receiver who has played, I think, in like 12 games or maybe less games than that in the last 2 years and is really more, I think, attention-based than actual production-based. And I love Odell Beckham. Like, Odell Beckham has some magical moments. He's done some incredible things on the football field. But, like, the Odell Beckham watch that has been going on the last few, you know, weeks is in really months has been a bit much. I will say that it may be worth it for the Ravens, the $15 million, just to see the FaceTime picture of him talking to Lamar Jackson. Like, if that's what gets Lamar Jackson back in the fold, by all means.
All right. Well, no, so it was going to lead me to that anyway. Is that going to change Lamar Jackson wanting $250 million of Steve Bisciotti's money?
No. But I think it may make Lamar Jackson more likely to play on the franchise tag and like sign up right away. The fact that they went out and spent does
you
it make
think
sense
he's playing for $32 million? I don't.
Well, I mean, what does he want? 250 over five? Yeah, makes it tough to do 32.
I don't see him. Like, could the Ravens sign him for like 1 year, 45? Would he do that? He might do 1 year, 45. I don't see him doing 1 year, 32.
Like rescind the franchise tag and sign him for 1 for 45.
Yeah,
I think the.
Can they do that?
I think the machinations of that from a like you would have to rescind the. Right. I don't think you can sign him to a contract. Well, I guess you could before July 17th. Why would he do that though?
I don't understand the logic of any of this. That's my point. I don't understand the logic of any of this.
Okay, so here's why you wouldn't do that if you're Lamar Jackson. If you signed a $45 million contract this year, the Ravens could also they would then be able to franchise tag you. I don't know how that works actually because the Drew Brees rule under the new CBA means that you can only franchise tag somebody X number of times. I believe it's three, right?
Right, three.
Because Drew Brees was tagged by the Chargers. And then came to the Saints, and the Saints kept tagging him. He was like, dude, come on. Like, this is ridiculous. I got tagged by my old team, and now I'm getting tagged by this team I've been on for 10 years. Or 7 years, whatever it was. The thing with Odell, or the thing with Lamar is that if you – I don't know if it qualifies as a using the franchise tag if he doesn't sign it, but I think it does. So, in other words, like, you would still have two more franchise tags that you could use on him. You just wouldn't want to. You wouldn't want to sign him to a 1 year deal, and then because he wouldn't want to do that because he's getting tagged again.
Right. Hey, look, none of this makes great sense to me. It doesn't make great sense to guarantee Odell Beckham Jr. $15 million a year for a player that he was 6 years ago, right? And Jameson Hemsley of ESPN, who covers the Ravens, was talking about having a conversation with Todd Monken, the new offensive coordinator of Baltimore, who was his offensive coordinator in Cleveland. And like, he's excited. I'm like, why would you be excited? He hated you. He hated that offense. He hated being there. The only thing he liked about it was his friend Jarvis Landry was the other wide receiver. But that was a disaster. So
he liked the fact that they gave him a brand new contract when he got there.
I'm sure he loves being in Baltimore right now because he got $15 million guaranteed. I mean, Shaq. Anyway,
22nd to 32 in terms of points scored. Was that the year? That was the Freddie Kitchens year, wasn't it? Remember that Greg Williams interim? Yes. And then, like everybody's got some hot takes. It's like, Freddie Kitchens is the OC. Like, you got to keep that guy in place for continuity.
No, that was, I wasn't at the, this was the second year of Kevin Stefanski, right?
So, No. But Odell's first year was with Freddie.
Right.
And but then they fired Freddie after his first year. And
the
then
second year, it all blew up with Kevin Stefanski, and they ended up trading him.
Todd Monken was the OC when Freddie was the coach.
Okay. Oh, so Stefanski, there was no...
Steve Wilkes was the defensive coordinator, actually. Man. How did that team lose? All right, Freddie Kitchens was the head coach.
That's right, Freddie. None of us could see that coming.
If that doesn't happen, Todd Monken doesn't go to Georgia, and Georgia probably doesn't win back-to-back titles.
That's very possible. So, how does the Lamar Jackson thing go? Where does it go from here? We're still in the same position, where Jackson has contract demands. The Ravens aren't about to meet those contract demands, and they can't negotiate because he won't negotiate. So, and there is no negotiating because he's not coming off his contract demands, which I don't blame him. I don't blame him for having those demands. If he thinks that Deshaun Watson's contract is the standard bearer, then I don't blame him because I think he's better than Deshaun Watson. So go get it. But the Ravens don't believe so.
Well, and the other problem too is that, you know, we've seen now where, and granted, it's different within an open market versus having to give up two first-round picks. But we've seen where teams are not willing to go try to give that money to Lamar Jackson. Yeah.
Right.
And I do realize, like, if he's out there, you know, as a free agent, he's more likely to get that type of money. But I think he sort of is. Right. But I mean, you have to give him two first-round picks and give him the money, which is a lot different than... But no, you get him 2 years earlier. You know, you get two more years of team control. I mean, I think, you know, Drew Rosenhaus was on the Pat McAfee show last week and said, you know, there are ways to, if you're an agent, he's like, if I were Lamar Jackson's agent, you know, I'd figure out a way, like, let's get the first 3 years fully guaranteed or the first 4 years fully guaranteed and then have, you know, whether it's a player or team option on the back end, guaranteed for injury, something like that. And this is, again, why, and it is sort of self-fulfilling, unfortunately, for the players who all want guaranteed contracts. But, you know, this is why there aren't guaranteed contracts in the NFL, because it's just so difficult to, like, you're just not going to get these owners to go all in on guaranteed contracts. They just don't want to do it, and they're willing to take that hardline stance. I mean, I've said all along, I think Lamar plays 2 years on the franchise tag. And
yeah, but I don't think he plays on this franchise tag. That's the thing. If it was the real franchise, the other franchise tag where he was going to make 45, I think he plays. I don't think he plays at 32. Maybe I... Look,
well, and that's the other thing. For the Ravens' sake, I hope he's the Ravens could not exclusive franchise tag him again next year, I believe.
Yep.
And it's just a 120% raise of 32.
We talked about this months ago, that was the strategy for the Ravens, to franchise tag him at the non-exclusive and let the market, if somebody else wanted to give him that deal, and I believe the Ravens will match that deal. No matter, they just don't want to be the ones to give it to him. I'm convinced of that. Nobody wants to go to touch the third rail, even though Jimmy right. Haslam already did. Everybody hates Jimmy Haslam.
Jimmy Haslam's like sprawled across the third rail. Nobody else was, I don't know.
Right. So
Jimmy's looking a little peaked, a little pale down there.
A couple of things, though, about the contract situation. I'm convinced that, like, there's no reason why NFL contracts aren't guaranteed other than the ownership won't do it because they are way stronger than the union.
Yeah.
Right? If the NFL was willing to miss a year and even extend it to threaten to miss part of another year.
Yeah, but nobody can do that. You can't afford to do that.
That's because it's about 20% of the league. Right.
Well, the can you say rank and file?
That's right. 80% of the NFL needs the paycheck.
And more than likely has a maximum of a 3-year window in which they can play professional football and get paid.
All the other leagues have more longevity, and the disparity between the haves and have-nots, and I use that term very loosely here, the disparity between those two factions of player, the dividing line is probably closer to even as opposed to 80-20. So the union is not strong enough to hold out for it.
And it's like, you know, while we like to pretend that, you know, some of us and, you know, like, you know, we're we're older guys, but we, you know, we're still much good older. At our jobs. Mm-hmm. You can't do that in the NFL. You know,
right.
You don't get better with age in the NFL like you might in other, you know, avenues of life. Right.
Right. I mean, it's a rarity. You can have like a resurgent year,
right? Maybe it's better with age, but like we might like some of us might get better at our jobs as we age or get better at various things that we do in life as you age. NFL players typically peak out pretty early and do not get better.
All right. Final thing for you, Will Brinson, because there aren't that many people that have gotten this right.
Oh, boy.
You got it right. I looked at your mock draft at CBSSports.com. And
you're one every week now that I'm writing again. You know, I don't know if you know that I'm writing every now.
I know you are. That's why I think I said senior NFL writer.
right, I'm back, baby.
Exactly. You have Bryce Young going to the Panthers number one. Why do you have Bryce Young and our friend Ryan Wilson, whose job it is to mock drafts, has CJ Stroud?
I think that C.J. Stroud is a consensus favorite. I mean, he is the consensus favorite. Like, you go and look at the sports books, and he's minus 200, minus 225, whatever it is, minus 250 in some spots. Don't ever take whatever you see. Like, if you see something at a sports book in terms of the NFL draft and assume that that is what the reality is, because those are reactionary markets.
Right.
Now, I think a lot of people are reading too much into C.J. Stroud versus Bryce Young and the height involved here and the differential there and how Frank Reich has never started a quarterback that's under just 6 feet four. Well, C.J. Stroud's under 6 feet four, too. He's 6'3". And I realize that's just an inch, but you know, that matters, right?
Right.
I mean, you can't be like, well, he's never started a quarterback under 6'4". It's like, well, then C.J. Stroud would not qualify. Bryce Young is just, to me, the way that this sets up is the Panthers have some continuity on the offensive line. They drafted Ikem Ekwonu last year. They brought back everybody that started for them last year. And they were a better offensive line than they've been in a few years. And I think that continuity is a big, big deal in the NFL that people overlook a lot of times year to year for NFL teams, where you have the same five guys starting from last year as you do this year. And when you have that continuity, it's going to result in better offensive line play. You have an owner in David Tepper who's extremely impatient. You have a coach in Frank Reich who never actually drafted any of the guys that, you know, he started over 6'4". And you have a quarterback in Bryce Young who can, with a solid pocket, a solid protection up front, some decent weapons, and I think they got them in terms of like Adam Thielen, Hayden Hurst, some veteran guys.
DJ Chark.
You can win now with him. And I think that's the biggest key for the Panthers and Frank Reich. And why you want Bryce Young is, you know, you can win now. His floor is really high. You think you can go out there and have success in year one. And if you do that, you're going to buy yourself so much time with David Tepper. Like, go out there and go 9-8. And David Tepper is going to basically build a statue of you in front of the stadium.
I just believe that. I watched Bryce Young for 2 years, have no problem moving the ball down the field at Alabama.
If he's 6'4", he's being, it's like, we're not even having a conversation about the number one pick.
I think if he's 6'1", we're not having a conversation about Aaron Rodgers is only 6'2". If Bryce Young is 6'1" with the same body type, it is a no brainer. And that's why, if CJ Stroud was as good a thrower, as good a quarterback as Bryce Young, this would have been a no brainer a long time ago. CJ Stroud would have been, we would have been signed already. I've said this before. Whether it's Bryce Young being taller or C.J. Stroud being as good, the Bears would have kept the pick. I absolutely believe they would have kept the pick. All right, Brinson.
And just really quickly, I'd say, too, like, it'd be a little bit more like Joe Burrow, Tua, and Justin Herbert, where we know the guy who's going one, but we know that there's, like, you know, there's a chance that one of the other guys is close enough, but no one's giving up that opportunity to get that guy at one.
No question about it. You're the man. Will Brinson, at Will Brinson on Twitter. Pick Six Podcast, which I believe is being recorded in just a few minutes.
Yeah, 1 o'clock. We're going to compare songs to draft. I don't know. You know
what? Really?
I got some work I got to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. It's the year of the cat.
I got my Althea hat on there. You see that?
Oh, look at that. Very nice. It's the year of the cat because the Panthers have the first pick.
Is it? It's a tiger year, I think, isn't it?
I have no idea. It's Al Stewart's song, Year of the Cat. Don't use that on the podcast.
I will. All right, man.
Bye.